Well, it's such a joy for me and my family to be here at Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville. We are so thankful that God granted to us safety as we traveled from Zambia to this place. And we really were looking forward to come and gather with you, the saints here. And I would also want to extend the greetings that Pastor Kalifungwa sent to the saints here. He really said, when you go to Pastor Jim Sebastian's church, please do extend our regards to the saints. So I wanted to be a faithful steward, and I've brought the word to you of thanks as well as regards to you. As my brother had already mentioned, I come from a very large family of 13, and we have lost about four of my siblings, including my father. He died, but he died unfortunately without knowing the Lord. And it is so heartbreaking. But from the nine who are surviving, five of them have come to know the Lord. And then four of them still, they haven't rejected the gospel yet. We do still preach and praying that God by His grace would open up their eyes to see the saving grace of God. I was born in a religious family. And of course, Sunday was one of those days where you go to church and do all the rituals. But I really never knew the Lord. At times, one tend to think that sin is what you do. But sin is in us. I was born a sinner. And by nature, I never knew the Lord. I was rebellious and I was on the path to hell. Until one day, the gospel was proclaimed. And God, by His grace, He opened up my eyes, and I saw how filthy and how dark my heart was, and how that without the saving grace of God, I was headed to hell. And God really saved me in 1998. And from that very time, I really started searching, what is it that God wanted me to do? I really love cooking. Yesterday we were here preparing the meal for the afternoon. And it was a joy to do that. But I desired so much to enter, you know, the sphere of being a chef. And again, I was thinking, should I join military and become a soldier of some sort? And the time, 98, when I was done with school, I was left with about 2 years of trying to figure out how to live my life and which direction to go. In the year 2000, the Lord God made it clear He needed me to serve Him. And I really did not hesitate. Of course, by that time, I was within the charismatic circles. At one point, believe me, I tried to raise a baby from the dead. I was on my knees praying because the young lady whom I used to sing with in church, her child died. And we thought we could pray since we were so convinced that the power to raise the dead was in us. Now that was a further proof that I really did not know so much of what God expected of me. But in the year 2006, I entered before seminary, Bible College. And from there, in 2008, that's when I had to move from the charismatic and Pentecostal movement. And I entered the Baptist sphere. And from there, the Lord had been very gracious to me. He opened my eyes to see the richness of the Word. And He redirected my path. And whilst doing seminary studies, I was undertaking a 2 years of internship. Antioch Bible Church, there is Pastor Tim Cantrell there. And he really helped me in straightening up my theology. And in the end, after my studies were done in 2011, went back and I did dual internship with Kawata Baptist Church as well as Lusaka Baptist Church. And from there, Lusaka Baptist Church sent me to Mpika in 2013. And we've been settled there ever since. And we are so thankful to God that such feeble men and man as me and my wife can be granted such a noble work of leading His people heavenward. And I do count every day that come as a blessing and as a privilege. And I wouldn't want to take that privilege given even today to present to you the work which we are doing in Mpika for granted. So if you can, allow me to just run you through what we are involved in Mpika. I hope my accent is not throwing you off. All right. That is our theme. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And we are very much convinced of that, that that is the reason why we have been sent to Mpika. That is my family. Katrina and I were married in 2013. And March last year, the Lord granted to us this precious baby. If you see the bottom left, that she was just about a day old in that crib. And there she was about a week old. Now, this one here, she was enjoying Oma's cookies. And she was quite excited. So we thought of just giving you a transition of how she's been changing over the time. Next week, this week we've started, she'll be turning 9 months old. She is such a joy to us. She has brought a lot of joy in our family with my wife. And greater joy as well, just when we brought her to the stage, she has seen so many of her cousins and aunties. It's been of a blessing. Whilst in Zambia, my wife and I have thought of establishing our roots in Mpika. Obviously, when you look at that, that is the house we are building. My wife and I sort of just realizing that we are home and we are doing ministry among the people whom we love in Mpika. We bought a piece of land very cheap according to American standard, but very expensive according to Zambian standard. The piece of land, I don't know in acres, I couldn't really figure that out, but it's about 30 by 50 meters long. And that piece of land was sold to us at 5,000 kwacha, which is $500. And having the whole house erected hasn't really cost us that much as well, according to American standard. I think everything in total, we would say, it just cost us about 3,000 US dollars. That's how much we've spent in a building. The top left, the guys were excavating and they started doing the building. The bottom one, that's the foundation coming up. We have the supervisor running through just to see to it that the work is done properly, and that's my wife. The bottom left, the building stages. Yeah, the middle section there, that is the soccer way that we are putting up. It should be two in one. And then the bottom section on the bottom right, that is how high we had gone. And we were at that stage for about 3-4 months, and the Lord granted to us some finances and we built up. So where we are just awaiting to put up the roof. So God willing, next year we'll be working on that. Just a brief history of the church. Emmanuel Baptist Church was established in 1995. As I mentioned on Wednesday, that the church has been there for 21 years now. And the way the church was established was you just that the provident hand of God was behind everything. There is a brother, Saint, he just got transferred from Lusaka to Mpika by the name, I know most of these names you won't know them, they are irrelevant, I know, but to help me shape up my thought. Brother Charles Chwele was working for World Vision. He goes to Mpika and was running some seminars, and one day he had a seminar right in the chief's palace, Chief Chikwanda. I know we can't pronounce those names. Chief Chikwanda. Now the chief looked at this brother. He was very sound a Christian. He still is a sound Christian. And in the process, because every time he would discuss anything, was attributing to God. So the chief was like, I understand you must be a Christian. Then the man says, I am. So which church do you go? Do you go to one of the Pentecostal churches? He says, no. I am a Baptist. from the time I was born and I became a Christian as a Baptist, and I still am a Baptist, but I don't have my church here. And the chief says, well, why don't you start up something there? You know, Zambia, it's especially like the rural areas, they are under the custodianship of the chiefs. So if the chief doesn't grant you the word go, there's really nothing that you can do. But the chief gave this brother, Charles Chiwele, a word go. He told him that establish something, begin, you know, your church here. And that's how the church started. He was alone, and he spoke to some few of his colleagues, and they were also in agreement. The very first meeting was held in the deacon's house, Mr. Kenneth Kapesa, in the bedroom, and the pews were his bed. They sat there, they discussed the possibilities of establishing Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it got started just like that. And after a year of having the meetings, they went back to the eldership, back to Lusaka. And the eldership was by then establishing the urban outreach, you know, works, and they authenticated. They said, oh, go ahead, and they gave them the blessings. In the same year, 1995, the very first pastor was sent over, Pastor Michael Wembia, the one I referred to that he married, went over. Of course, his child died and he couldn't live in Impika anymore. He left. The other pastor came, Pastor Kenneth Clement Kaunda. He was there from 2000 to 2013. And when he married, he kept on commuting back and forth for over 3 years. And that's when the eldership told him to go home and be with his wife. But in our case, we married and we went over. And we have established Impika to be our home. So I have been there as the third pastor from the 4th of September 2013 to now. The profile of the church. Impika generally is, the population is about 150,000. But with 150,000, the religious climate there is quite syncretic. Roman Catholicism is greatly practiced. Jehovah's Witnesses are there as well. Just a few meters away from our church, there is an Islamic mosque. And Pentecostals and the Charismatics have also infiltrated Impika. Therefore, Emmanuel Baptist Church is the only Reformed Baptist Church in Impika, which means we have greater responsibilities, and we would appreciate your prayer, saints. You stood with us in that regard. The church has 33 in membership. We have 3 services per Lord's Day. There is one which is a vernacular service. It is run in Bemba, and the attendance ranges between 10 to 15 on a given Lord's Day. Still in its infant stage. And then the English service, we vary between 30, 50 to 90, depending on the Lord's Day. But we do run an afternoon service as well, which receives on a good Lord's Day about 20 to 40 in attendance. And we do thank God for that. In terms of leadership, I am the sole elder and pastor in church, but we have the 3 deacons, and the church also have various ministries. There is the young people's ministry, which they do meet regularly every Saturday at 14 hours. The ladies, they do meet twice every month. The men do meet monthly as well. The junior and senior Sunday school, our senior Sunday school, junior Sunday school is not the way it is done here. Sunday school back home, it's from 0 to 5, and then from 5 years old to maybe 15. So when I'm reporting that I said of Sunday school in the States, they are thinking 0 to, so I need to clarify. So our Sunday school that side is for the kids. And they do meet on the Lord's Day every morning. We have literacy class, which my wife leads every Saturday in the morning. And then we have couples ministries, which meets trimonthly, and then home fellowship groups, which do meet weekly as well. And two of those home fellowship groups, I do run them, and one is in vernacular, the other one is in English. And there's the newly formed or added ministry, which is the church farm we just procured recently. We do have some prospective ministries which haven't started yet, but we pray that the Lord grant us grace. These would also be established. We are praying and just seeking the Lord's direction in these areas. We want to establish the Mercy Ministry, Student Ministry, and Radio Ministry. Mercy Ministry, we notice, I don't know in the States, but in Zambia, when our parents get old, they're suspected to be witches. And most of the times, they even get disowned by their relatives. And they are left without care or anything. So we thought, instead of letting them be, even without hearing the gospel proclaimed to them, you know, establishing an elderly care home ministry, that to create a platform for us to minister to them the word of God, even as they live the remainder of the days on this side of eternity. The orphan work as well. There's so many orphans, double orphans, and their lives haven't been, you know, well up, and the church has very limited capacity to extend help. So we are praying that by next year, Lord willing, these ministries would take effect. We want to also establish a Christian primary school. There is only one Christian primary school, which is of course way too expensive, which also affect the children being sent to a good school and also being exposed to a biblical worldview even as they get their education. So we think that Emmanuel Baptist Church would establish such a ministry to the children. The student ministry would also be an effective ministry in the sense that Mpika, as I mentioned on Wednesday, it is a transitory place. We only have a limited number of tertiary schools. And therefore, when the students come, they come from deep villages into Mpika. And when they graduate, they go back, you know, some back to Roman Catholicism and others to Jehovah's Witness. So we thought if we establish the student ministry, we'll be proclaiming the truth to them. When they graduate, they'll take the truth of God back to their various homes. We have only one radio station, which is used by the Pentecostals. The Muslims have also gone there. So we thought we'll also go and proclaim the sound doctrine of the saving grace of God. Leadership, those are ministry leaders represented on the left and on the right. That is the one kneeling. That's the newly ordained deacon, Mr. Masanzi. So the ones by my side, those are the two deacons. And the third one is the one on his knees. Some few encouragements and some challenges that the church has experienced. The church over the long haul of its existence has experienced the high and low situations. When the first pastor was there, he of course did tremendously. The work was well established. When he was leaving, there was no plan of him leaving. He left abruptly, so the church got shaken up a bit. The other pastor, who was by then serving as an intern, later on ordained, when he was also about to leave, for 3 years his mind just got detached from the ministry, and which left the people like not really knowing where they stood and became quite hard. So when I went over firstly to just have a feel of the place, I really was questioning whether that was a good place for me and my family. But we do thank God that from the time we went over, the Lord has been very, very gracious to us, that the church has enjoyed the unity and there has been stability and steady growth with regards their growth spiritually as well as our growth numerically. One of the things which has been of a greater encouragement to me and my wife is we found certain individuals who were members of the church by then. They were reckoned as weak Christians, immature Christians. But those over the period we've been there, we have seen God do the gracious work of maturing them just over this, you know, shortest period of ministry. We see them grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. They are able to think through the things of God and apply them in their individual lives, which has been of a greater encouragement to me and my wife. And we also thank God for the gospel partnership. It's not only with Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville, but also other churches, both from home and beyond. People have rallied around about us. In various ways, they have been supporting us. And we are so thankful to God for that. The church was constructing the sanctuary, which you see the pictures, there are slides coming up. Still over just a period of 3 years, the Lord graciously, you know, provided all the needed resources, and the completion of the building was done, and we commissioned the building which we are using right now on the 17th of April 2016. And the last thing that we are grateful to God for, the point of encouragement, is our acquisition of the church fund, which was very cheap American standard, expensive Zambian standard. The land is 494.3 acres, that of farmland, and that was acquired at the rate of 5,000 kwacha, which is $500. And we are so thankful to God, because that, once it becomes functional, it will help us facilitate our financial autonomy at church. The challenges, the place being transitory, members transfer and relocate to various places. The church, because people that come, they are the ones who work, and we are left with just the villagers who do, like, they just survive, you know, on even to have some ends meet at the end of the day. Therefore, there has been poor tithing and giving as well, and limited means of evangelistic outreaches to the vulnerable. That is one of the things that we are struggling with in Mpika, and the inadequate Sunday school materials, and we have experienced sporadic conversions. And this seasonal Christianity, being in a village when it's time for farming, people leave. And after farming season, that's when they come back. I don't know if any one of us can eat caterpillars. Well, in Zambia, that's a delicacy. There's a season for them. When the caterpillars come, people leave as well. They catch them, come back once that season is done. So those are the challenges that the church has been experiencing. And also this just worrisome spiritual climate, which I alluded to earlier on. And the church also would want to have farm and church transport. People live in far distant places. No wonder we have the services arranged in the sense that we have one and then immediately we have another. There's just about an hour in between services. Because if we let people go home, they won't come back for the afternoon service or the evening service. And the other challenge is having a sole elder. Some of the milestone achievements with regards to the church building and the commission. That's how the church was found when we went over on the top left. Shortly, the Lord granted to us, through your generous support financially and prayers, the roof started going up. And then by 2014 through 2015, the roof was done, and we started working on the pouch as well as plastering the building. The bottom picture shows the completed structure. But if you notice, the pouch hadn't gone all around. Initially, the drawing wasn't like that. The drawing should have showed the church like that. And that's how we ended up doing everything till the church work was completed. It looks really beautiful even in the night. Now, in Impeka, it's a place which is full of people with superstition. They tend to say that nothing good happens without the help of black magic. The church is small, with primarily poor attendees. Now, they tend to question, how can a church with a limited amount of people attending put up such a big structure? And you know, this church is situated right by the road, and there are so many accidents that take place. So whenever someone gets hit by the car, they say, once you see someone dies, the church begins to go up. So they do connect the shedding of blood to the advancement of the building of the church. But when we are officially opening up the church, we had to invite people from the community to come and hear how the Lord has led us to the point where we were. And it was quite encouraging. So those were the people in attendance, and commissioning was quite an encouraging time. The top left there, you see people were laying the terrazzo floor, and the top one next to my father-in-law, those were young men just making ready the place, and the young ones were also involved. It was such a time of joy just to have the church completed. So what remains? We have already bought the ceiling, which I call insoluble exterior ceilings. They are the ones which don't get affected by the rain or moisture. So it's just a matter of having them put up. We just need to do a drainage around the church building. And we also, the Lord grants resources to have a pulpit, a decent pulpit, sound system, projector, security wall fence. Have the pavers around the parking lot, the toilets, the parsonage, the caretaker's house, and develop the farm hopefully next year. And if the Lord permits, also to have the church and farm, church bus and the farm truck. The church is also thinking about expanding itself, that we don't just remain as Emmanuel Baptist Church and it ends right there. I want to spread our wings further. Like the second point there, gospel partnership. There is a church in Mufulira on the Copper Belt which is planting a church in Tanzania, and they want us to work with them. And we pray that that comes through. But also establishing the Christian and mercy work and Bible training institute. We train our own men and send them out to go and proclaim the truth of God. Some few things that you can pray for us. Stability. These are almost the same prayer items which I gave on Wednesday. Stability and membership retention, growth in wisdom and in the word. And as the word is proclaimed, people would accept it. Pray that the Lord would convert many, even among us, that there will be numerical growth, and that God would make the individuals seek Him, that they desire to love the Lord with everything in them, that God would direct the hearts of the seeking sinner to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church. Not that we are the only ones who proclaim the truth soundly, but that He would make our proclamation of the truth attractive. Men who desire the truth of God. That God will also strengthen the gospel partnership, both home and beyond. And we have a monthly evangelistic activity, but also the members would avail themselves that they will be evangelizing with boldness, with knowledge, as well as wisdom. Ministries which I mentioned to us, that they would be sustained by God's grace, and members would be devoted to them. Leadership, that God would raise leaders among us, among the saints, that we can have additions of eldership, and also that the current leadership would lead the flock of God Godward ungrudgingly and remain true to His word. But some things to praise God for: the commissioning of the building, the acquirement of the 494.3 acres of farmland, that wisdom will be granted to us that we'll be able to develop that land and bring glory to God's name. I ask that Ibisu continue to exhibit growth in grace and knowledge of God. So those are the churches just saying thank you to you. There is Lusaka Baptist Church, Emmasdale Baptist Church, that's from within Lusaka. And then there is here RBCL, Grace Baptist Church in Warsaw. And then there is Grace Covenant Baptist Church. And there are some few individuals who also extend their help to us in various ways. That was the presentation. Please, you're welcome to ask if there's any question or anything needing clarification. I would gladly, attend to that. Yes, sir. It just came in, I think, about a year and a half ago. It hasn't really taken root that much. But they are really trying to evangelize just like Christians do. They go in the marketplaces and they go on the radio because those are the places where people can easily be reached. From the top of my head, I think we've only seen few vehicles parked on their parking lot, and very few wear those long robes of theirs, and we meet them on the road, on the streets. It's taking root. There was a point when they started inviting children on their premise and provide them with food and teach them some few things. And every time they would meet, anyone who attended received $15. So they wanted them to come and receive something. But of course, once they stopped, no one went back. They left. But we've seen they're putting up massive structures, and it's possible that they're establishing schools. Government schools are way too expensive, and very few people really afford to send their children to government schools. And Islam, what they do is they would establish a school and just put conditions. As long as you fellowship with us, your children will come to school for free through to university. And which would mean the Christians will lose grip on the people that they should be ministering to. So they are gradually building their muscles. So we do not know how long it will take. They are never in a hurry. I think that's just the way they operate. They are never in a hurry. But slowly but surely, they are taking root. Yes, sir.
Since so many of us are familiar more where Lusaka is, can you give them a point of reference for how far you all are by car from Lusaka?
Okay, yeah, it's about 900 kilometers away from Lusaka, in miles. Sorry? Yes, 10 hours drive. It's quite far. And of course, our roads are narrow, and we have ruthless drivers from Tanzania. They drive those big trucks and they drive overnight. They are not allowed to drive in the night. So they will drive during daytime, and they want to utilize the time they have. So at times they drive right in the middle of the road. You want to overtake. They have a big thing, so you'd rather remain humble and drive behind them slowly. Yeah, so it's about 10 hours drive. Yes, sir.
Could you speak a little bit more on the plans for the farm? You seem committed to it.
Yes.
I have purchased, but I'm curious about
it. Okay. We plan to do mixed farming. Okay, here is the reason why I'm so excited about the farm. We do not have, I hope I pronounced this correctly, network. When you are in that deep farm, you can't have access to internet or anything. And I love that. Here is why I love it. When the young people are in, because what you want to do is establish a meeting area right at the center of the farm. We have picnics or conferences or anything church related. When we are there, no access to high, low and everything on internet and Facebook. That is the reason why I'm so excited about this. Everyone will be focused on the Word of God. But we want to do mixed farming. We want to rare livestock as well, poultry, but also do like corn, grow corn and beans and everything. We actually should have started with beans this year. It's just that when we started the plans, we didn't have enough time to start working on that. But we want to do soya beans as well as just regular beans. Apparently those are quite marketable. We want to do that to establish our base as well. So we want to do mixed farming on that piece of land. Yes, sir.
For your family that is those who knows the Lord, are they engaged in this church or are they other churches?
My family.
The ones who know the Lord.
Oh yeah. They are far from where we are. For them I think it should be Copperbelt. Should be about 14 hours drive from where we are. They're in these other churches. One of my brothers is the pastor and he runs a Pentecostal church. The other brother attends a Pentecostal church, and my two younger sisters, they're also in Pentecostal churches. Yeah. But you know, when we sit together, we do try so much to teach them the truth and help them think biblically. Yes, they are Christians, they are professing Christ, but there is less growth in the grace and the knowledge of God. Yeah. Okay.
How far is Tanzania from?
From Umpika. It's about 3 hours drive away from where we are. Yeah, so which should be about 300 kilometers, 200, yeah, 300, somewhere there, yeah. Okay, I think.
We have about 12 minutes, maybe we can